Die Samstagskracher bei Netto Markendiscount.
Frische Aktion!
Mit Blumenkohl.
Aus Deutschland.
Das Stück für
2 Euro?
Nee, für nur 99 Cent.
Dann geh doch zu Netto!
Don't try to run, don't try to hide. You're stealing your time without thinking twice. Stop the party, hide your shit. Believe this is the hell tonight. Whoa!
What's Up Fool Podcast. Welcome to the What's Up Fool Podcast with Felipe Esparza, Rodrigo Torres right here.
Yeah, man.
Chilling, man. It was my birthday. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, dog.
Thanks, man. It's not every day you turn 42 on IMDb.
It's my Hollywood age, player.
Yeah, man. Super excited, bro. Before we get to all that fun stuff, I went to a cool audition last week.
Hell yeah. How was it?
Yeah, a couple of days ago. And actually, there was no audition.
What's going on here?
There was no audition, man. I can't even mention it. I had to sign a release form to not even talk about it.
Okay, that's how secretive
it is. So there was no audition.
Okay.
But he's telling everybody now.
Yeah. But I don't even know if I got it, but I'm pretty sure I didn't because I haven't got a call yet. But it looks close, bro.
Hell yeah. At least you went out there and tried out, though.
At least I went out there, right? Like, sometimes I would sit down and watch a movie, and they go, you know what? I could have been that plumber who just came out of nowhere.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
I could have been that truck driver who helped Bruce Willis give a little history about New York City in Die Hard.
It's a silver screen, dog.
But those roles, I noticed that they're not open for everybody. You know, like all the actors, like anybody who looks like me, they're not open. They're called specifically for the role. They don't. It's not like when I go for an audition for a commercial and they're like
50,000
people who look like me. They don't call everybody, bro.
So it's narrowed down to a pool of people that's gonna fit that they kind of want to see on that show.
I felt good though because I was there reading with the same people I read for like another role for that movie with Will Smith. Focus.
Okay.
So they're looking for that. For that Arab-looking, long-haired guy.
Swarthy,
yeah. So, yeah, man, I saw, I was there reading with Big Spider or Little Spider or Medium Spider from Friday After Next.
Is that Jacob Vargas?
No, not Jacob Vargas. He's little.
He's Joker.
Rollo.
I mean,
Rollo.
He's Spider, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he's Spider.
Yeah, because there was Spider, Little Spider, and Mini Spider. Those three spiders.
You're cutting the web, dog. But fuck, dude, you're in the loop, dog.
I'm in the loop, cocksucker. Give me the loot. Give me the loot. I'm a bad man.
No, it's nice.
Give me the loot. Give me the loot. I'm a bad man. The bad song.
Hell yeah, dude. That whole album is genius. Give me the loot. Give me the loot.
I'm a bad man. I've been rubbing motherfuckers in the slave ship with the same 4-5. Something, something, motherfucker, gotta die.
Something, something, motherfucker,
shit.
Gotta die.
Mama thinks she a superstar. Taking gold chains, too. Fuck, I forgot that shit, but we used to bump that shit nasty, dog. Ready to die, dog.
What's up, fool, man? What's up with people still trying to separate California, bro?
Bullshit, dude. Acting like no Congress
didn't allow it.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
We need more government, bro.
And it's funny, dude, a Republican dude proposed that shit out of over there where I live.
Billionaire.
In Temecula, but like a couple years back. But it's like the whole thing of the GOP is less government, right? Ain't you going to make more government with another state?
I know,
yeah, but
man.
They want the rich people to go to that state. And the poor people to be stuck in everywhere else.
You can't get rid of poor people, man. You keep on pissing out homeless people. They're going to keep on starting fires and shit. If I can't have shit, you won't either.
You can't get away from poor people, man, because you know what? And you can't get away from anybody because it's in, like, I think, human nature, bro, to be adventurous and seek out new land.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Nomad, yeah.
Nomad,
yeah.
Bro. Like, you think you're going to be living in Riverside till you're 80, bro?
Nah, dude. I don't see myself living in Riverside.
Of course.
Like, it's right now. This is what's happening right now. But
your pops is okay with that, huh?
Dude, my dad ain't going anywhere, dog. They're there forever, dude. They're like a nail in the coffin over there. Dog.
His adventure is done.
Bad analogy. Oh, dude, he doesn't have any adventure, dog. He didn't even want to go to Mexico, dog. He was kicking and screaming. He didn't tell them, but he was telling all, dude, I don't even.
He was like B.A. Baracus from the 80 on a plane, huh?
Dude, all they do is do what they do, and that's it. Go to sleep at a certain time, eat at
How
a certain time. My dad's 68.
Ooh.
My mom's like 67. They don't.
Yeah, they're ready to. Just
he
does. Sit on
he
their
doesn't.
Asses.
He doesn't. But he won't stop. Because right now he just finished up building a house.
Yeah.
But he doesn't stop. But he doesn't want to do anything out of his routine.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be in anybody's car. He doesn't want to be on anybody's schedule. None of that shit. He'll meet you there, dog.
Son of Joe Diaz.
He's exactly like Joe Diaz. Complains about everything, fool. Like, fool, he ain't having it, dog. But that he's set in his ways, fool. He does not like to travel, dog. Does not like to hop on planes. No trains, nothing, dog. Doesn't like to wait in line in the stores, dude. Old school, fool.
Son of this motherfucker will not Airbnb it.
Dude, he'll be like, fuck that, dog.
He'll Seriously. Be like, I don't want to walk on somebody else's floor with my feet.
That, too. And he also says he can't get any sleep when he sleeps in hotel beds.
Oh, really?
He cannot sleep, dude. He can only sleep in his bed, dog.
Sounds like he's never been tired.
He doesn't like change, huh?
You should teach them, bro.
Nah, dude.
You
well,
teach
I can't
your
teach
father
him.
How to take a nap standing up, bro.
The only dude, like
I know, you couldn't teach people that. So
yeah, that. But he's not into that shit, dog. They're not open to that shit. That fool's like, dude, I made your stupid ass. You're not going to tell me shit. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, dude. Ain't into that shit. Still complains, dog. Argues with my mom all the time, dog. Same shit.
I knew somebody, bro, that their dad has never been to L.A. Went to L.A. once, probably, to get a passport, and that was it.
That was it.
He never went back. Never had Chinese food, hates Chinese food because he was a Korean War veteran.
God damn, dude. Where was he? Where do they live at?
Ontario.
And that's all he. So from Mexico to Ontario?
No, he was born in America.
Even worse.
But he grew up in that area, but never went to LA.
Damn, dog. Well, see, that's what I. Well, my dad's from Mexico, dog, but he came over here when he was like 14, 15, dog.
Like we live in a big city, man, so. We don't really have to go that far for fun. Like, there's no way somebody's going to drag me to Paris, California. You know what I mean? But I don't understand how people who live that far or just live in the city of Commerce, which is like 48 minutes from here.
And never leave?
They never leave that area. Like, they don't know shit about no hopping on the 101 North and taking a drive to Santa Barbara or going to the Comedy Store or to Hollywood. Like, to them, they got to plan that shit out.
Oh, hell yeah. That's a big old mean trip, dog. That's a trip, man.
But I want to introduce our guest, bro. He's already here. Showed up early like a soldier.
Swift, dog.
My headphones fall off.
It's Skyler Stone, bro.
Welcome, brother.
What's going on?
Chilling, man.
He was a cook on Waiting, bro. I don't know if you saw him. He was with Dane Cook, bro. He put something in his crotch in that movie Waiting.
Oh, no. We watched it at your pad one time.
Yeah.
I'm like, I scratch my head and all
the dandruff
falls out and I call it garlic salt.
I love that movie.
He was Cousin Mike on Raising Hope.
Wasn't it Danny Trejo in that movie too? Waiting?
No, you're thinking Louis Guzman.
Luis is in it.
Hostel Part 3, Mike.
Oh,
he
shit.
He's been on Mike's, huh?
You look like a Mike.
I know, I look just like straight up white boy. Ah, he's Mike or Tom, one of the two.
Came we here love to rock you the mic.
For your consideration.
For your consideration.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, dude. There's a movie called For Your Consideration, bro, with Eugene Levy and all these fools from the other movie.
Christopher Guest.
And they're all like, it's a spoof on being nominated for an Oscar or the hype behind the Oscar. And he was like the one of the DJs in the morning and this girl was trying to be all like an artist. And these fools are talking like morning, old school morning, like 80s
shock
radio.
Shock jock type.
Like the Red Bull, brother.
That's how I started. Like I started as a DJ's intern. And so I just had to sit through all sorts of like morning shows that were just like 103.9 WWLG. Coming up next, we've got, you know, Felipe Esparza. Like, and they'd bring guests on, and then the guests would always have a look on their face of like, what is happening right now? Like, because there was no realness to it. Like, you guys are talking like real people.
Right, right.
But imagine if I came, you're like, Skyler Stone in the studio. How you doing? Tell us about your project. You know.
Dude, that's total morning radio, dog. Right.
Skyler Stone right here, man. He was in a show. We're waiting.
Exactly.
You hear the paper rumble?
Like Power 106 with like the cowbell and shit. Yeah. Something like that. You know?
Yeah, somebody just said, this fool has a voice like a strip club DJ.
I get that a lot. You know who was a strip club DJ? It was Josh Adam Myers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was just here, man. Yeah.
And so was
George, too.
That was the guy that we had here from Silicon Valley.
Oh, Jimmy O. Yang.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I can't see that at all.
We had him.
No, I couldn't see him as a DJ.
Me neither,
as a strip club DJ.
We did the voice.
Yeah.
come on, guy, let's take out those crumble dollars.
Yeah, because he said he was talking about his job was to get the strippers to come out because sometimes they didn't want to come out for their dance.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, they're fucking hating guys and everything, yeah. Hating life. So he had to really.
Two guys in the front and shit wearing What's Up Fool podcast t-shirts. Yeah. That guy, they're drawing up strippers.
They just did a pregnancy test backstage. They're in a bad mood. Don't want to come out.
You know the saddest and funniest thing I ever saw?
What's that?
It was a bunch of strippers. It was a meme. And they all, it was like 10 of them, bro. And they were all holding hands. And they were all praying before they start stripping.
Hopefully it's $1,000
night. That had to have been staged, though.
Had to be.
Hopefully it's $1,000.
But they were like in a circle like this. Dear Jesus, we're about to perform.
In their lingerie.
I've never been a big strip club guy. Ever.
But you worked there, right?
No.
Oh.
Someone said that I sounded like it.
Oh, okay.
It sounded like it.
It's never been my thing. I don't know.
You've never been to one? You never worked?
Oh, no, I've been. Dude, the day I turned 18, I went, and I think I liked it then. But then I got to L.A., and it just seemed, I don't know. I always felt like I was going to get hustled. Like, I know myself.
It's all
like,
that's happening.
If some girl told me, like, a story, like, you know, hey, I just want to let you know I'm really hit hard times, I'd be like, okay, do you want to go to my ATM, or do you need your daughter raised? How can I help? And I never wanted to get conned like that, you know, so.
Were you ever addicted to strip clubs?
I mean, like Drew Carey got conned to buy a house.
Did he really?
Allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly.
I don't even think that.
I don't even think that was allegedly.
I try remember the first time I went to a strip bar. The first time I went to a play where there were naked chicks. I'm trying to remember if it was Mexico or. Oh, the first time, bro. I was a little kid, though. You know how parents sell Avon and my mom would sell Crystal.
Promotions.
Yeah. I like that you specify
China.
Avon. Fool. I was at my aunt's house and all of a sudden, bro, a lingerie party broke out, dog.
Are you serious?
Yes. And this lady was selling lingerie or nightgowns for all these women that were there. But it was like a bad show, you know, like the women. It was like. They were not models, you know. It was like your mom.
They were showing the fashion.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't think my mom owns lingerie, dog.
Exactly.
It was like your mom's friend showing off the ew.
Yeah, it was like my mom. I saw my aunt's cousin right there, my neighbor's mom in lingerie walking around, you know, with a little slick little jacket. And it was she was telling in Spanish, you know, like this over here, it comes from lion and shit. From France, and this is that.
No,
from 1899, you can wear this. But it was in Spanish. Con esto te puede lucir a tu hombre. And she's being very poetic about it, you know, what this was. She had like a saying for every cloth, like that guy from Seinfeld, Mr. Petersmith, whatever his name is.
Jay Peterman.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Peterman clothes, when you're out there in the outdoors, fishing, cashmere jacket is the way to go. Something like that.
She was a sales lady.
Sales lady, yeah.
Wow.
But then after that.
Hairy leg strip club.
Yeah. I went to Mexico when I was working at San Diego with some dudes selling souvenirs during our air show. Mm-hmm. So we all went to Mexico. And we were at a strip bar there. But then we left real fast. So I didn't get to see nobody naked. And then I think I was with Ivan, bro. I went to Bob's Classy Lady in the Valley.
Bob's Classy Lady.
I don't know that one.
Wow.
But again, I don't know the LA ones. Well, Kalamazoo, I got you covered. You want to, I know the Kalamazoo strip clubs.
Yeah. You look like you'd know the Phoenix strip clubs. You look like a Phoenix type of guy.
No, I cannot live Scott in environments Dale. Like Phoenix.
Swinger town all over there, huh?
Yeah, no. Dude, places like Phoenix and Vegas depress me. I can't be somewhere with extreme heat. Like, I could never live in horrible, Palm Springs. Dude. You walk out and you just don't even feel... I don't know. You just feel like a little insect being burned by the... I can't do it. I'm not into it.
It's brutal, dude.
It's oppressive, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine, bro, getting ready to go to an interview. You took a shower. You go outside 120.
Can't imagine. Well, you kind of live close to that. Riverside. But, I can't live in a place where you have to have AC on all the time. And from your house to your car to your job. And, like, there's just AC constantly. And you don't ever get to feel what it's like out in the real world.
Yeah. IE temperatures are just like the San Fernando Valley, dude.
Yeah.
But you get really good restaurant deals when you're in those. Like, if I am in Phoenix doing stand-up, like, I've just noticed that their happy hours are, like, longer because they're like, please come out. We know you don't like to come out between 2 and 6. You know what I mean? Like, they'll try to get you out.
Yeah, two comics over there in Phoenix, like Chuck Bartel and Fred Stoller with umbrellas and shit because they can't stand the heat.
Oh, my God. This is too bad. Oh, I think I'm going to die, Felipe. Oh. Please. Trying to find soup.
He was trying to find soup in Tempe. It was like a college bar food town, and he's looking for soup. It's hot.
Only him would be looking for soup. Like, that sounds like an Academy Award-winning short film. Like, Fred Stoller looks for soup in Phoenix.
Instead of Fred and Vinny, Fred and Soup?
That's like an art film if I ever heard of one.
Oh, I should make that.
And he's then depressed for 22 minutes, and he never finds it. Shoots himself at the end.
And then the drama would be him in the green room when that Mexican dude showed up and started getting Seinfeld at him over and over.
Oh, yeah, because this guy was begging. He recognized him from Seinfeld.
He didn't want to come on to the meet and greet outside, so this guy started banging the door. Seinfeld, come on, homie. Fucking Seinfeld, come outside, homie. We want to meet you.
Dude, it is funny, though. Okay, I will say this. The only ethnicity that yells credits instead of, like, your name is Hispanic people.
And black people.
I went to rehab last summer in Mexico. In what the heck is that town? Rosarito.
Oh, wow.
It's
cheaper there.
Rehab in the party town?
I've heard that about there in Baja California. There's a handful of them.
There is because it's a controversial way of getting sober. You basically go do psychedelics to get sober.
Ayahuasca?
Like
Ibogaine?
Ibogaine, ayahuasca, and DMT.
Well. Yeah.
But I was down there, and we got a shopping day, and they took us out to those little, you know, markets, and we're like, you know, buying stupid little things and whatever, buying tchotchkes. And all of a sudden, this guy goes, "Hostel 3!" And I heard it. And I'm like, there's no way he's talking to me. He's like, "Hostel 3!" And he got my face. He goes, "Hostel 3!" And he kissed me, and he hugged me. He goes, "I just watched that fool." And like, he got next to me, takes pictures with me. Oh, dude, it was pretty funny, dude.
A star came to Rosarito.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he treated me like I was Tom Cruise.
Oh, dude, I'm like, about yeah, it, dog.
I'm like, bro, I'm not that big deal, man. You need to calm the fuck down. Like, this is like, you know.
I would have went to the house and got the whole meal, too, man.
Yeah, right? I probably could have.
Fucking hostile.
Aquí tenemos a Skyler, raza.
It's always like, it's cool in a way when you get recognized like that from one thing, you know, like, hey, whatever, Netflix, you know, Netflix, right? But then, like, and then it gets kind of like weird, and we start calling everybody around, but no, they don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Oh, come on, man, Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, they're trying to really, like, in a way, they're happy for their friend, but the other time they're trying to shut up. Now you know, like, yeah. Okay, we don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Netflix, but what the fuck, bro? And then you as an artist going, hey, motherfucker, name the special, you piece of shit.
Or, like, there's time. That fool will open up his phone and look for it, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dog.
That's the worst.
Oh, yeah. Or how about the guy that's next to the guy that recognized you, and then the guy next to him does a really passive-aggressive move where he just goes like, obviously you're a big deal. He's freaking out, but I have no idea who the fuck you are.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
The straight-up guy.
Oh, you're so cool. Like, oh, and there's one, you know, like, dude, so tell me what you've been in. What am I supposed to do? Like, read off my IMDb right now?
I can roll call the credits over here.
Yeah.
Or tell me a joke or whatever.
A business
like,
card.
Having to do all that stuff.
And then I've done it. I've started to read it.
Too.
I've started to read it. I've started to go, Raising Hope, and they'll go, nope, what else? I'm like, Hostelry, nope, never. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing this
you
right
tell
now.
Tell me is what I saw you in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fools are weird, man. And then you get those motherfuckers like start hating on your ass right away, too, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm funny, too, and you ain't shit. Fuck, this guy sucks.
Yeah. And then people always assume because you worked with someone that you were automatically best friends with them.
Call him right now.
Say what?
Call him right now, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, people will be like, you know, so Ryan Reynolds, man, how often do you guys hang out? I'm like, bro, I worked with Ryan 3 days. He's got better things to think about. Like, he's had sex with Scarlett Johansson since he's met me. Now he has sex with what's her name? Who's his wife? I forget his wife.
What is his wife? Who?
Blake Lively.
Blake Lively, yeah. Yes.
I think he's forgotten all about me. Like, safe to say. Or what if he did? What if he actually pictures me during sex with him? That'd be crazy.
What?
Yeah.
Or Skylar at.
Or the radio guys.
You're like, probably doesn't happen?
Radio guys in small town will bring up something like that. Probably.
Oh, fuck yeah. They have no clue of what's going on.
They're all happy. Yeah, man, we're here live in this morning in Yakima, and we're here with Hostel 3.
Yeah.
Then everybody from the little small town, yeah, this is Hostel 3.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'll get also people that try and act like they've seen me in something that I know they didn't, because there's certain things on my IMDb that I was cut out of. So, like, dude, I loved you in Rules of Attraction. And I'm just like, well, I was cut out of that movie, so I don't know like how you loved me in that movie. You
the
know what
spirit
I mean?
Of Skyler.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
What's up, fool? Rodrigo Torres, man. How was that show last night, bro?
It was killer, dog. It was
who was there?
It was me, Martin Rizzo, and Flacco. The only thing was that Flacco was a little bit under the weather. He came over here with a little neck apparatus. And I told him, fool, you should have told him. Sorry, bro. So he did it sitting down, but he got through his set, and it was cool, man.
How much time did he do?
He did about 30 minutes.
Who was this?
Really? Yeah.
Oh, a friend of our named Flacco.
Flacco, he's you know, kind of flatlines every now and again.
He has health problems.
And we had to give him a massage.
Oh, I thought you meant flat lines on stage. Like
no.
Before.
Oh, no. He just got
morphins.
I'm like, damn, you guys are harsh.
He has Marfan syndrome. Marfan syndrome.
And then he has mad migraines,
he gets,
dude.
He gets affected
And he had a heart, too, right?
He has heart issues. And he had a heart valve.
He's our first bionic comic.
You just said he had a heart. I'm like, did they take it out? Yeah, he used to have a heart, man.
They usually have heart conditions, but he has a heart condition. He had a pacemaker put in when he was a kid, and then he just had a heart valve replaced.
How old is
fixed.
He?
He's 30.
If he was in Star Wars, he'll be General Sidious.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Does he talk about this shit on stage?
Kind of. He talks about it in like podcasts and stuff, but yeah, he's been honest about it. But
that's pretty cool.
It's not much of his material. He talks about being skinny. That's naturally part of the symptoms is that you have long, skinny fingers and legs. And
can
arms.
I get this thing? Do you lose weight? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, dude, speaking of long, skinny, man, we had a barbecue.
Genetic thing.
With my birthday last Saturday.
Oh, yeah, birthday.
Happy birthday, by
George
way.
Perez was there, bro.
Happy birthday.
Side Dick Eddie showed up with a What's Up Fool podcast t-shirt looking for a guest spot. And, fool, we were in a swimming pool. Marti took off his shoes.
You guys seen the big old Tony?
Fool, his toe looked like baby Groot. His toe looked like fucking Groot.
That's disgusting.
No, in Spanish, yo soy Groot.
Guardian of the Galaxy foot.
Yo soy Groot.
Groot.
Where was this show?
It was at Riverside.
Riverside.
Yeah, my show. It's called Viva Los Jokes, dude. We're going to do it again on July 10th. And, yeah, it was cool, dude. Rizzo showed up. He did his time. I did, gave Gracie a guest spot. That band Santo Golpe played a little bit before.
You had food there and tacos.
Yeah, they had a little taco in the back.
Comedy festival.
Yeah, man. It was cool, though, dude. It was all like on the Latino tip, but it all worked out, dude. Fucking, we got there. Fucking, it's like 7:30. Nobody's there, dog. And 8:30, that shit was packed.
That's always scary, huh?
Yeah, and I was like, dude, did we fuck up, dog?
I hate that shit.
Tyler Stone had a show. I did Tyler Stone show. And
Comedy Store.
I text that fool, bro, because I didn't know where the hell fuck I was. We were in Mulholland Drive, bro.
God damn.
And
traffic.
I text him, man. This fool said, I don't fuck out his text. I'll show you right now.
Well, it scared the shit out of me. Because I thought every comic was texting me. The first four comics had all texted me within 5 minutes saying they were running late. And I'm like, it's a tag team show. So there's no host. And someone's on stage. They think they're bringing someone up. That turns into a fucking nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Fast.
The link breaks.
And he was early, but he made me feel like he's going to be
well,
late.
Well, I told him because I hit traffic right when we got on Mulholland Drive. So yeah. Laurel Canyon. Sorry. Not Mulholland. Laurel Canyon. There's no way out.
One way in.
Going down
there.
Yeah. So I said, text Skyler. Tell him we're on our way, but we're going to be there at 8:45 or whatever. But you didn't tell him a time. You just said I'm running late.
That's what I'm saying.
And then I was like, tell him the time.
And then I asked for it, and he did write me back. So I'm sweating bullets going, oh, my God, Felipe, I'm going to fucking murder you.
I was like, the GPS said we'll be there at 8:45. I was like, tell him that you'll be there.
You know why it was bad? It was Hollywood Bowl traffic. That's what it was.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It was bad.
Because every comic hit me up and said, I'm running late. And you just don't want that when the show's starting at like fucking.
Oh, hell no, dude. That's stressful on you, dude.
Mark Maron was there. And that fool from Super Troopers, too. And one.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hilarious, bro. Dustin Ibarra showed up with George Perez. We were backstage. And we're all hanging out, you know. And then the dude from Super Troopers showed up. And then like, hey, man, I love your movie. He said, thank you. That fool looked like Ray Romano to me.
Hey. Hello, Felipe.
I thought it was Ray Romano, bro.
Dude, yeah. I've never thought of that.
If I would have been a comedian or anything, I would have said, hey, Ray, little Raymond guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I would have said.
I love cookies.
And then Dustin Ibarra shows up. He's talking to us for a long time. Then he starts talking to the guy from Super Troopers. Was super excited. Whoa! Like that for a long ass time. Whoa! And hugging him and this and that. Then I say, hey, man, introduce yourself at least.
Yeah. Make a moment out of it. Yeah. Just sucking him off backstage.
For real.
But he had worked with him.
Spit on it, dog.
He knew. They worked on three things together, right? But
he was acting like he had never seen
him. That's another level, bro. That's another level. See, there's the level of a fan recognizing you and not knowing where the fuck you've been at. But Dustin was at the level of working with a bigger actor and the actor has to work, figure out what movie he worked with you on.
Yeah.
That works so fucking much.
Yeah, absolutely. I've ran into people, and like, I know they're just looking at me like, I think we know each other. And I always throw it out quick because I don't want it to be fucking, you know.
Get weird, awkward.
You know.
That'd be weird, huh? Steven Seagal, what's up?
Yeah.
I don't know who you are. You roundhouse me. Remember? You broke a fucking pool stick on my head and marked for death.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg, you jerked off in front of me in Boogie Nights. You don't remember that? I was in the truck and...
Mark, I was there when you fucking beat up that Vietnamese man for no reason.
We caught eyes.
Oh, man.
Awkward, huh?
Fucking awkward.
Fanboy.
Fanboy. I turned into a fanboy, bro, right away. But I make motherfuckers uncomfortable.
You do. You're a big fanboy. You have no qualms there about telling somebody. You have no... No, I'm serious. If I see famous people, I don't say shit to them.
I feel they owe me.
Well, I was. I always.
But you always.
I feel I owe anybody who I went took time, anybody who I dedicated an hour and a half for in a movie.
Yeah.
I feel you owe me at least 2 minutes.
I googled your net worth. It's $15 million. I'm part of that. I made that happen for you.
I agree with that.
I put a bulb in your house.
Dude, I agree with that. Because dude, when you want to make it, you want to be famous, and then you make it, and then you don't want to be left alone. No paparazzis. You wanted that.
Tom Cruise, you don't want me to say hello to you, motherfucker. I seen all your fucking movies. I spent 12 hours watching your
Yeah, I can't.
You don't have fucking 10 seconds to fucking for a fucking 40, you short fuck?
I can't wait to bear hug that fool, dog.
I'm going to pick that fool up when I see him.
Dude, yes, Tom, I turned my head when you went crazy. I still bought a ticket to The Mummy. You
me
owe too. Me.
Yeah, man.
I turned my head.
But I also think, too, that like when you go up to somebody and you can name that specific scene, the specific thing he did, that it's cool, dog. But not just to fan out because the person's famous.
Fool, I will see somebody.
Felipe will go deep.
I was watching the fucking Nutcracker, bro. And I saw somebody I recognized, but I don't know who his name was. And I went to go look for that motherfucker. I said, okay, this motherfucker been on 30 movies I've seen.
We saw him in American Horror Story.
It was American Horror Story. I don't want to yell out, Axeman! So I Googled his name, and I knew his first and last name. And I mentioned his name, John, whatever, and last name, perfect. You know, I'm a big fan. Then I started saying Axeman and all this other bullshit.
Yeah.
But I was happy, bro.
That's what I'm saying, fool.
With his family, watching I don't know how it feels, bro, to be an actor or a comedian watch another comedian or an actor watch another actor. You don't want to fucking be there. So when I recognize his name and I say Axeman afterwards, he was all happy, dog.
Oh, dude.
And he said my name.
Do you remember that one time we were at Hollywood Lanes, dude, late at night, dude, and fucking... We're just chilling there, and then about the corner of your eye, you caught Vince Vaughn slipping, and then you hit him with the little line from fucking Swingers and all that shit, and it was cool.
Vince
fucking,
Vaughn's always over there.
And it was fucking...
You gotta keep in mind, man, Vince Vaughn was walking there with two chicks that were shorter than his daughter, because he's a super tall dude, and he was wearing Christmas lights.
Yeah, dog.
He's two a in the giant. Morning.
Yeah, they were...
He's
it was,
a fucking
he's
a
giant.
He's
like 6'7", right? Yeah. Something like that.
It was all during, like, right before the holidays hit hard.
He was with Ahmed Ahmed.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they're like best friends. Yeah.
Yeah,
I actually met Vince through him. Vince Vaughn is my number one impression that I do, like, on stage.
I mean, baby, right now, we're hanging out. We got 3 days right here. I mean, if you think I care about this right now,
dude,
I'll tell you right now, listen.
Bitching,
hey, baby, I could use a couple snacks. Where the fucking snacks at in this bitch, all right?
Where the crap?
I'm looking at you. Why do you be Boy George? Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry? Probably not.
That's fucking tight, dog.
So I've been doing that for years, and like I'll get people like
I've been doing it for years.
I've been doing it forever. I've been doing that impression a long time, and so all comedians know that I do it. And so Steve Byrne and Owen Benjamin and Ahmed had grabbed me at the Improv once a few years ago, and they had just said, you know, hey man, we have a surprise for you, because they know he's my idol.
Uh-huh.
And so he was upstairs, and they took me like upstairs, and he was sitting at the, and dude, I thought I was meeting the Godfather. They're like ushering me to a table, and here's tall fucking Vince Vaughn with a light over him, like a
shadowed
face.
How's that for
face.
A fucking introduction, dog?
Dude, it was amazing. And so we sat down, and Steve Byrne put me on the spot. He goes, hey, he goes, Vince, I don't know if you know this, but Skyler does an impression of you. And he's like, oh, I'd love to hear that. And all of a sudden, like, I'm like sitting there and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that I was on next on stage. I go, you know, I do it on stage. I go, why don't you just come watch my set and I'll do it on stage. He's like, I'd love to. So he comes downstairs. My wife has no idea this has happened. She's already inside. She was taping a set for me for Conan. I was trying to get an appearance on there. And so she had her phone and she's on the side of the stage and she's filming. I get called to stage. Vince Vaughn ends up behind her. She has no idea Vince Vaughn is behind her. And I have the tape to prove this story. She's filming me and all of a sudden I start doing Vince Vaughn, and she can hear Vince Vaughn laughing at me doing Vince Vaughn, and then she turns around and goes, oh my God, you're Vince Vaughn, and you can hear that like on the tape as awesome. She's taping me, and then I get off stage. It was like the most like hilarious experience ever. It was pretty fucking awesome.
I've never seen anyone do that impression.
Never, dude.
No, that's an obscure
impression. I try and find people like, you know, I don't want to do like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jay Leno.
The same one that everybody does. No, fucking dude. 20 comedians do that same
but
one.
But I do Arnold Schwarzenegger in the box.
Wait, you do what?
Nah. Oh. It needs to be the San Antonio comedian. He should do Arnold Schwarzenegger stuck inside a box.
There are people that get away with doing like ones everyone do. Like who's what's his name? Hispanic comedian, help me out.
Pablo.
Pablo does it, and it's fucking great. I don't care
what
that it's
man, what man. Desire.
Yeah, that shit's great.
Pablo's a shit dog.
Yeah, what he does is great. You know,
you can't fuck with that fool, though.
Or you go do James Gandolfini.
Yeah, James Gandolfini.
Hey, how you doing? Wear that gay as fuck T-shirt. I'm gay too.
Bro, it really kicked it on the I'm gay too. The way you said that was really good.
And then this fool always puts me on the spot, and I go, fuck. Like, even like with the Joe Diaz impression, I do it so much, and then like a lot of fools
let me hear Joey.
He's got
let me tell
Joey.
You, bro, you gotta fucking relax. You know what I'm saying? Don't wear those fucking t-shirts on my show. First thing, all right, Skylar? I don't give a fuck where you're from. Minneapolis, Kalamazoo. Felipe, what's going on here? Why is this bomb not loaded? I'm supposed to meet Netanyahu and shit in like 4 minutes. He's sending the helicopter.
Oh my
Prepare
God.
The hummus, cocksucker.
Cocksucker is
and
on
then
point.
It's like fuck, dude. Like somebody motherfuckers do it now. They're like, ugh. But it's like, yeah, I got to bring it back.
I never heard anybody do Joe Diaz.
I know.
Joe Rogan does. You and Joe Rogan had a Joey.
Yeah, it was an
impression.
Dude, that shit was like 2009. But
that's on YouTube still. But you won.
He gave it up to me, and he gave it up to me on his podcast. But it's kind of like, you know, it's their little version of it over there. So everybody, you know. Praises over there, which is cool. I mean, don't get me wrong, dude. I'm just over here sitting here
right
on
the side.
I'm on the periphery, cocksucker. I'm just waiting for another fucking introduction. You know what I'm saying? Vince Vaughn style, a la mode. But yeah,
I love Coco all day long. Coco's the man.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I love you in fucking Swingers. When we start fucking slapping these bitches, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, when they said Coco was coming out, I'm like, Coco is out. All right, don't talk about the Pixar.
Coco's been out.
Talk about the Coco's been out.
Absolutely, bro. It started in Havana, 1950, whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? Foreskin and everything. You know what I'm saying? The Cuban egg roll is back. Who's that?
That's a good baby.
Thank
Come
you,
on, bro.
That's his impression.
God. Come on, bro.
Hey, do you know who that is, fool?
No.
Come on, bro.
Should we let it out or what?
No. Let me look. Do I know this person?
You've heard of
Challenge
him.
Challenge yourself, bro.
Comedian?
Yeah, dude.
Hold on.
Latino.
Oh, my gosh. This is really bothering me. Like, I feel like...
I feel like I want to give you $20 if you guess who that is.
It's a birthday gift from Rodrigo. He gave me this t-shirt. And it has our old friend. You can see it, everybody.
Oh, Willie.
What's up, big dog?
Yo, bro, talk to Vince, bro.
Hey, what's up, bro? What's going on, bro? You're over there in Hollywood, huh, bro? You're shining, huh, bro?
I mean, I guess that's what you could call it. I mean, I don't even know what that means.
It means you're doing well, bro, for yourself, bro.
I mean, I hear you're doing well.
Hey, bro, I'm all right, bro.
I mean, you're doing pretty well in the Inland Empire, that's for sure.
Hey, bro, sometimes we got to stick to our own provinces, bro.
I get it. Like right now, I'm 213, you're 909. It doesn't fucking matter.
951, bro.
Same thing.
What happened with you and Nick Guerra, bro?
Hey, bro, sometimes you got to teach these youngins what's going on, bro. You got to show them some love, bro. Get them under your wing, bro.
So he says bro a lot, I think.
Yeah, bro. He was the first bro. Like, dude, everybody
that
says
bro.
He was the first bro, dude. Even more than bros. Like, you know, with the big trucks, fucking motorcycle, bro.
Let's go first bro was probably Pauly Shore. He was saying bro. And
that
like,
was buddy.
No, but bro, too. He was
he does bro. But I think Willie was before, dude. Willie even was doing bro in the disco days, I believe.
Who took bro to the to like the next level, like... I'm like Teddy Roosevelt. Douchebag.
Oh, yeah, that was those like douchebag movies. Like,
that was
what's
his name, man?
Wasn't that a sketch?
Well, Paul Rudd was doing it with, what's his face? In the I Love You Man, I think. Weren't they doing
that? Oh, they did
together?
It in that movie.
Bromancing.
And then I feel like there's like a Sean William Scott movie that did it too. Just all those bro-y movies.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Didn't and then there's little Chris Dorin, bro.
Hey, bro.
Hey, bro.
Little bros, bro.
Little bros, bro.
The
little
Bay Area, bro.
5'2" bros, bro. Bro.
There's another comedian named Chris Dorin. He always throws his bros.
Hold me, bro.
He's my bro, bro.
Bro, he's everybody's bro, bro.
Who does this?
Chris Dorin, bro.
This guy from the Bay Area. That's a Bay Area bro. Hippie bro, though.
Yeah,
more
yeah.
Of
it's a Grateful Dead bro.
Yeah, it's a Grateful Dead bro.
Yeah, bro.
It's a babe, bro.
It's you guys, you know, it's like peace and love, bro. That's a, that kind of bro.
Warriors, bro.
Do you know Mark Saratella?
No.
No.
Used to book comedy Jews.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, he's hey, bro. Mark Saratella here.
That's not familiar now.
Like when he leaves you a voicemail, it's like, hey, Skyler, Mark Saratella. Give me a go. Later, bro.
Peace, bro.
Later, bro.
Little bro.
Tiny then,
bro.
Then there's a Tommy T, bro.
Hey, brother. Bro.
Hey, brother.
We're trying to lowball you for less money.
Yeah.
Can you work with me, brother?
I hate it when someone texts me, bro. Like, it begins a text with bro. Like, bro, I said I'll be there. Like, it's like, dude, don't bro me in a text.
Like, yeah, no, it's like, dude, I don't like the those. Text. I know it comes from you, bro.
I have a guy who directed Felipe's special, this last special we
Lisa,
made
bro.
Together. No, he texts me and says, hey, girl.
Ugh.
And I do not respond.
What kind of fucking frat boy shit is
wait,
there?
Is he gay?
No.
Okay, then that's unacceptable.
No, if you were gay,
if he was gay, would you write back?
That's gay as fuck,
that's
bro.
Part of their culture.
And if it was my girlfriend, I would write back. But if it's a dude, hey, girl.
That sounds like a dude trying to get a favor.
He's trying to get a favor.
Oh, that's a favor text, dude.
Yeah.
No.
Please. Hey, girl, don't you have a Laker connect? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Hey, girl. He wants me to, you know, have you do a show or talk you into doing something.
What is going on with
whatever.
These subliminal messages, bro?
By the way, I'm never not starting an email, at least from now on, without hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey, girl. Can I please do my show? Yeah.
So when did you start doing stand-up?
Laugh
Factory?
The first time I got on stage was 1998 at a pub in Kalamazoo. And my first joke was really bad. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Go for it, bro.
My first joke was, so I go to WMU. Yeah, you guys might know that as Western Michigan University. But if you really know me, you know for me it stands for Weed Miller Lite Uterus.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty funny, dog.
Did you get a laugh?
I think my friends that were there were like,
fucking crazy, bro.
What are you going to do for the next 4 minutes?
Yeah, a four. I think I bailed at 2 minutes, dude.
Oh, really?
They say, hey, you give me a Buzz Killington.
I mean, you got to give me like.
You got a migraine, bro.
You got to give me credit, though. It was not a stand-up show. It was a true open mic with poetry and songs.
Oh, see, that's when it fucking hits a wall, dog, because of all that acoustic shit.
I think it was a situation that made you creative. For that joke. I mean, you think of that joke.
Yeah. Yeah, back then, dude.
Did you do a loud joke? Did you do that joke a lot or just that one time?
I think I maybe did it the first 3 or 4 times because they opened up a comedy club directly across the street after that, and I tried it there. And I got a good couple sets. All I did at the first was act outs. It was all act outs. There were no jokes. It was just like set up and then something physical. I really liked like
the
early.
The Dane Cook sort of. Like,
kind of. But more,
I'm trying to think. What was my first joke that was bad? Because I had a lot of them, bro. I had a lot of them, bro.
Shopping lifting?
No, one is not funny.
I don't like that.
Can't think of it right now. But it must have been embarrassing.
There, dude, I found a box of, a shoebox of, this is how you know these are old sets. They're, remember mini DV cams with the little tapes?
Yeah. I found disc, a whole box. The mini disc or the mini tape?
Mini tapes.
I love those, man.
Yeah, and I've got 20 of them, and like they're all sets. And I'm like, oh my God, do I pull this out or not? It might be fun to put some online, though, you know?
Oh, man, I had this horrible joke about Romeo and Juliet. If Romeo was a crackhead and he was trying to get back into the castle all cracked out.
It was like an act out? Then you
yeah,
like,
it
did
was
the...
act out, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would go like this, like, oh, Juliet, I can't find my pipe. You know, like act out with the face, you know, all coked out and looking for stuff on the floor. It was horrible, man.
I was about to give you props, dog.
It was a one.
That's not a bad premise.
It felt like a one.
Pretty funny,
it was
man.
A horrible one man show.
That's funny though. There's
a lot
there.
Of acting, bro. Horrible acting. And I kept going over and over and over. And her name was not it was Maria instead of Julia.
Julia.
Yeah, it was. You know, at that time it was like 1998, and so Dane hadn't blown up. Stand up hadn't blown up. It was like it was a weird time for stand up. Like. If you were a stand-up fan, you were just part of like a small club. There was nothing like this. There was no all things comedy podcasts. You know what I mean? People like Tom Segura selling out theaters without having like huge TV and movie credits or hosting SNL.
It was still Tonight Show era right there.
Yeah, it was so different, dude.
A little bit of a Comedy Central at that time.
Yeah, but also, again, it was like a weird network. It was not
It was during the time of the Love Master.
Yeah.
Comedy Central didn't blow up till after Chappelle. Right?
You could argue,
Comedy South Central, Park, of course.
Comedy Central had stand-up comedy shows, but they were not like now. There were just a bunch of them.
Yeah, a bunch of half hours.
Killing
dude.
The game. They had a bunch of Pepsi Dorito shows. The Pepsi stand-up, A&E, even at the Improv.
That's the only thing that was around back then,
and
too.
I remember when I was in college, they had that certs. They had a certs thing where they were going around the colleges doing
mics
and stuff, sponsoring these comedy shows, trying to find comedy.
It wasn't really stand-up driven yet. It was like, hey, so we have South Park, we have The Daily Show, and that's what we are. And then like Dane and Patton and Attell and a lot of guys kind of brought it back. I mean, really, you got to give the credit to Dane. If Dane didn't blow up, I don't think we'd be seeing
what we're seeing right now. And Jeff Dunham on the Comedy Central too.
And David Chappelle had the only like real comedy travel show at the time.
Yeah,
they used to come out at midnight.
Oh, David Chappelle show?
Yeah,
I love
that
show.
And that was like after 2001.
Yeah,
love that show.
Yeah, but he was the first one to blow up off to social media.
When did you come to LA?
Well, I basically had one contact. My dad was college roommates with a guy that produced Rescue 911. Do you remember that show?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And so my whole life I had heard about my dad's, you know, college roommate, and like we'd watch Rescue 911 and his name would be in the credits. So he became like he became like this big figure to me. His name's Jim Milio, and he said, "Hey, I've got a job." And he goes, "It's $500 a week. You can stay on my in my guest house for like the first couple months, but then you got to get your own place and come on out."
Damn. So damn,
I couldn't pass it up, dude.
Couldn't.
Fuck no.
I remember it was
in 98, dog?
No, 98 was when I first did stand up. This was 2000. This would have been September like 13th, 2000.
That's still good now. We're talking about.
Dude, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. No, I was very fortunate. I mean, I was a piece of shit employee and I got fired very quickly. but you know.
Should have called me, dog.
It was the week that Marshall Mathers.
Fuck, dog.
It was the week Marshall Mathers' album came out, so I drove out here listening to that whole album. Just
it's a
like
badass record, dog.
Hell yeah.
Getting all psyched and gripping the wheel and fucking.
Tear up LA.
Yeah, you know.
White boy coming from Michigan.
Yeah, an 83 Blue Volvo breaking down the whole way. And
83
I'm like,
I'm Blue Volvo?
Yeah.
240?
Yeah.
With a four door? They have a little thing?
This one was two door.
Okay.
I had a two door.
At that time, you had that one? I had a Volvo too.
You did?
It was a wagon. It was a gray Volvo. It was an 83, 240, nice. Four door.
Yeah.
And a sunroof, you go like this.
Yes. Yeah, you do most people don't know that. Yeah, we've only driven Volvos in my family. I've driven six myself. Now, it's the first time ever that I don't have a Volvos right now. But, yeah.
Oh, wow. I've had three.
Really?
And I have a station wagon right now.
We have one right
for
now.
For sale.
I think we're going to.
Yeah, for sale. Yeah, dude, Volvos are the shit. Safest car you're ever going to drive, and yet they're fucking tanks, dude. Saved my life. I got hit by a drunk driver once. The EMT came to visit me. That cut me out of the out of the car and stuff.
Cause of life and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, he came and said, he goes, if you weren't in a Volvo, you'd be dead. He
really?
Goes, and so I never stopped driving Volvos after that. I was like, okay, I'm going to keep
it. It feels, the one we have, that wagon, it feels like I'm driving a safari truck. Like
it's a
like
tank.
A cool little tank. Yeah. You know, it's solid.
The spike of death. Except the brakes go out a lot in those cars.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. The way you know that your neighbor has a Volvo is you just hear it.
You hear that car whistle, dude. Bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's up, Doc?
Yeah. Sorry.
Seth, bro.
So you moved to LA and you got fired from that job. So what'd you do next?
Got fired very quickly. I did some extra work, and on the set of Van Wilder, the director, Walt Becker, liked my just feel and vibe, and he put me front and center in a Ryan Reynolds scene. I've done like three movies with Ryan and still doesn't know who I am. Or again, he might picture me during sex. We don't know. We're going to have to check in with him. But I was
a little alien, bro, in Green Lantern.
That was me, bro.
What was it like, man? Like you were like excited to do extra work at the time? Like,
very.
Because I was too, bro.
Very.
I thought I had the dreams, bro, of every extra person actor that ever worked. That someone's going to pluck me out and put me and give me lines just like Skylar Stone.
Yeah, dude, I would get on set, and I say this to people, so if there's anybody even out there that's even thinking about doing this, doing extra work is a lot like going to film school. And people laugh at me, but dude, you get on set and you really learn how shit is really done.
If you're paying attention.
If you're paying attention. And that's what I did. I fucking soaked it in.
And everybody talks to you if you're extra, except the main actors and the director, but you pretty much talk to everybody.
See, but I crossed that line. I found ways up to those people, and I knew, like, I didn't do it in like a – In a snaky way where you'd be like, oh my God, this guy's just trying to, you know. I got coke, blink twice if you need it, blink twice.
I'll give you a third wink, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I wasn't that bad back then. When I got here, I did not have a drug. My drug problem hit about 06. That's when shit got bad.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, mine was
you
bad.
You and I would have went nuts, bro, that in 06.
Yeah, it was bad.
I party with people that party with you, but funny, you and I never got a hold of each other.
Which I think is so strange.
It's strange. Because we will cross paths.
All the time.
And then I remember there used to be this one kid who passed away. And he was the guy that hooked me up with my drug connection in Hollywood. Because I had a drug connection everywhere else, mm-hmm. but I didn't have the Hollywood scene.
Mm-hmm.
And he hooked me up with a guy, and I don't want to say his full name, but he would show up to wherever I was with a fucking fishing tackle box.
Wait, hold on a second. That you know my dealer? Oh my gosh, how have we never talked about this before?
Because you know what it is about addicts is that once we sober up, to see another guy that we know party with the same person makes feel sick. Like,
oh. A little bit.
It's like seeing Jack in the Box at 12 in the afternoon.
Yeah, Lisa's exactly right. Exactly right. Jack in the Box is delicious at 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
But when I see Jack in the Box at 4,
oh, God.
I
want
to die.
Puke.
No, I had a friend. You might know him. He was an East Indian guy, comedian, who passed away from the Laugh Factory. Young guy.
What's his name?
I forgot his name. Oh. But he's the one that hooked me with that connection.
So we're talking about the same guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Like a reality show. Yeah. You know my
but
dealer.
But it was weird, though.
That's great. Dude, repeat that joke. That's great.
It just sounds like a reality show. Oh, you know my dealer.
Dude, it's great.
Donde estamos.
Okay. He used to be on the south side of La Cienega. He wore a dumb beret because he thought it was cool.
When I was at your show, and I realized how packed it was, you know, how your shows always are well sold out. And I saw the lineup. And then I started thinking about it. I've been doing comedy just as long as some of these guys here who are big, huge stars, you know, Mark Maron, Dane Cook. I started like in 96. And I was thinking, so when I went up on stage, first thing that came out was honesty.
Yeah.
So I've been doing this a long time. And I realized that the longer I do it and the less famous and busy I get, I realize I have more drug dealer numbers.
That's right, dude. Yeah, I had to do a purge in my phone because I had some people in there that shouldn't be in there. And, you know, when this is done, I'll tell you. I don't know if you know what happened to that fool, but, dude, it's not.
Not pretty?
No. No, 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 no. It's bad, dude. It's bad. So, but, hey. I mean,
he was a soldier, this guy.
Drug dealers usually are.
No, this guy would show up, bro. Like, I don't. Like, I would call this guy out of nowhere, 2-3 in the morning. He'll show up where I was at as long as I'm in the Hollywood area, right? And I mean, one time he opened that fucking fishing tackle box.
Yep.
And
your mouth is watering right now.
Of course it is. Because I'm an addict. And this fool had everything. Remember one time, bro, I bought I bought Coke from him. I bought weed. And I bought a Viagra.
On my way.
Okay, now I know that you know him because that was his thing.
That was special.
So, like, you know, if you're like,
I'm going to beat up some pussy.
Happy hour special.
You know, if you're at the movie theater and you drop by a medium popcorn, they always go, "Would you like a large for 25 cents more?"
I know. What the fuck?
That was his move, dude. I'd be like, "Yo, let me get a pack of Percocets. I'll take 4 Xanny bars. Let me get an ounce of weed, a half a gram of coke." And he'd be like, "Do you want a Viagra?" Do you remember him talk like that? Like, "You gonna get a Viagra?" I'm like, "Why? I don't have a problem." He's like, "You don't have to have a problem. It's awesome."
Yeah, man.
He's just trying to sell me a long boner. Like, he's just like, you know.
Then, and then like
cherry on top, Bob.
Just because he was in Hollywood, he also wanted to talk like he was in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know who house I just came back from?
He loved to tell
you. Oh, he would name drop?
I just dropped a whole ounce of weed at Brad Pitt's house.
Yeah. Or he'll be like, "I was just sorry, I'm so tired. I was at Marilyn Manson's house all night." Yeah.
Sitting on the couch, not bothering nobody, probably.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm just trying to think of people that he would name drop that, like, I feel like that are publicly known. Like,
I've talked about this.
Yeah. There's a couple that I know people don't know they do drugs, so I'm not going to say
Ricky
them.
Martin.
Are you being serious?
No.
Okay, because that would be really funny.
I don't think he does drugs.
Ricky Martin's assistant used to go buy weed at a place where I used to go buy weed at.
All that.
At another comic's house.
Dude, he dealt to
on Fairfax.
I couldn't believe how many people this guy dealt to.
But it was
couldn't believe it.
Like, it's like this guy is like he's working like he's like a futuristic drug dealer. Like he knows how to like, I don't know, you know.
He's got his like, pulse. His finger like, on the pulse.
It's like if I were to give his phone number to somebody, he would know that person that I give my phone number to is legit. Like he ain't crazy because I'm crazy.
He's on his P's and Q's.
P's and Q's. Yeah, but I don't know what happened to him.
I'll tell you after the podcast.
So how did you? How
he's
did
not
you,
here though.
Did you meet a lot of dealers?
He's here on Earth, but he's not here in
did
LA.
Did you meet a lot of dealers like that? Just, that's the one. Who
I had two guys. I had Tackle Box so and so.
Tackle Box Jim.
We'll just call him Tackle Box T. It was alliteration for sure, but Tackle Box T. And then Mexico Mike. Those are my two guys.
Mexico Mike?
Mexico Mike, yeah. Mexico Mike was had more rules. Mexico Mike was he would you could never go wherever. So Todd was dumb. Oh, I can't say his name. Is that bad?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. Anyway, so-and-so was dumb. He would let you come to his house, and he didn't have – like he didn't look out the windows. He didn't ask questions. You could show up with three people. At least this is my experience. I don't know if he's this way with you. I could bring anybody over. He never asked a question. And that's a really dumb way to do that for a living. You need to like really control that shit. So it scared me because I'm like, well, I know that I'm not somebody undercover. But like, you know, how easily could somebody – because I'd come over there, and people would be hanging out with him all the time. Like he'd always have people over.
He was slipping there because when I never went to his house. I never wanted to go to his house. I thought it was just cool that he just showed up.
Yeah, he was a delivery guy for sure. That's why he had that three-level Tackle Box.
But know. I think he did invite me once. Like he I just came from party. If you want to go back, no, I'm good, man.
Yeah,
just chill here with Yorsey.
Well, he ended up done because two people overdosed in his apartment within the span of 3 months and died. So
oh, that's bad.
Yeah, two people died in his apartment, and then he got raided when he moved into a warehouse, and then he was done.
Well, one of the guys that OD'd a comic. Because I know that, because I know the comedian that introduced me to him, he passed away.
Maybe that was him.
He was like East
I guess I don't know if he was a comic, but like I never really knew their names anyway. Whoever these people were.
And then did you ever like go party with all the comedians from the Comedy Store at someone else's house in Burbank, and he had bathroom stalls outside of his house?
Who did?
So Doug.
Dougie Points.
Dougie Points.
I don't know Dougie Points.
Okay.
Sounds like a great guy, though.
He's great.
It was actually fucking really cool, man. We got out of there. It was bright as fuck, dude. We thought it was still dark inside.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this guy had his whole house, bro. Like, it was a casino, bro. Like, there was no clocks. You never knew what time it was. The temperature in the house was perfect.
Yeah, mechanical shutters and shit.
Skyler, this guy had, like, you know, troughs where you pee?
Yeah.
Outside of his house. Like, because you know when you have a house party, people get fucked up and they pee outside?
Yeah.
You know, porta potties. This guy had porta potties outside of his house.
Oh, wow.
The house was made for partying.
Wow.
He had a ledger everybody signed. Like,
and I'm really glad I never met this guy, actually. This would have been really bad for me, I think.
I'm glad you and I and Joe Diaz never got together.
Or Ashley Hamilton, yeah. all that group of people. You know,
Ashley,
like,
holy
Ashley
cow.
Hamilton told me this crazy story.
We're trying
ass
to get
story.
Ashley on the show, but yeah.
He told me this crazy ass story one time, man. Like, cause,
is he still sober?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
You're sober, right?
Yeah.
Could live by
13 right? months.
A lot of people on our podcast are, actually, one guy, he emailed us and thanked
the
us.
Listeners, yeah.
A listener said that because of you and Joe Diaz talking about being sober and the problem you went through, man, it helped me a lot. And I've been sober now 18 months.
Yeah.
Wait, Joey's not sober, though.
Yeah, yeah. He don't do no drinking and no coke, just pot.
And mushrooms and
acid.
That's like, yeah.
What else do you do, Joe?
I guess sober is a funny word.
No, anything that's fucking from the earth, you know what I'm saying? We take it down over here at the church.
Yeah, sober can be relative, but I think also with something like that, it's not as addictive as the other things that were going to kill you.
I know,
you know
like,
what I mean? So
I could smoke weed every day, do dabs every day, and I can't do mushrooms every day. But as long as I don't drink, I'm going to be all right. I don't understand how Anthony Bourdain, you know, rest in peace, how he's still sober. That's with a crackhead, heroin addict, but he still drank and smoked cigarettes and smoked weed.
But in the end, it didn't work. So you have to wonder, did he do that?
Did he succeed at doing
that?
Who knew that, right?
Yeah.
How do you do it? You go to meetings?
Yeah, I go to meetings. I have a sponsor. I'm on step four right now. And
what's step four?
You got to write down everything you ever did bad, huh?
Not step four is who are you resenting, and then figuring out your part in it. So I'm basically that's where I'm at right now. Just making my list of like what I resent: people, agreements, you know, places, you know, just anything that's been driving me nuts for years. And I'm like, oh, I'd be doing so much better if that person didn't screw me over. You know what I mean? But right. But realizing, well, wait a minute, did they screw you over, or were they human and you were also human and you both messed up? You know, like that sort of thing. So that's where
responsibility.
I'm at. Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah.
Is it your first time attempt at sobering up, or you've done it before?
Second time. First time I got sober was February 23rd, 2015, and I did like a normal rehab. I did one in Malibu. Great place. It's called Soba. My roommate was Andy Dick.
Oh, that crazy asshole.
And he's in a different facility.
Yeah.
Now.
Wait, did he get checked in?
No, he was doing like a one where he could be gone most of the day and then come back at night. He would come back.
How long ago was this?
That was last year, right?
Last year.
2 years ago and last year.
Yeah, he went to Europe right after that with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was... This was
the
rehab.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was called that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I thought he was at that other one, Passageways or Breezeways.
No,
that
was Soba because he went to go shoot Zoolander 2, right?
Yeah, I think it was during that time. Okay.
That was it. That was 3 years ago, yeah.
Hilarious.
3 years ago, like right now. You know, he was an interesting roommate. That was kind of weird to like wake up to like, you know, shake sounds because he's always making shakes. He doesn't eat like solid food. He makes shakes. You walk in, I'm like, what's this? Like, well, I'm making you a shake. And I'd be like, what's going on? He's like, buddy, you need to eat better. And like, he would like make like these huge shakes. And like, I'd be like, what's in this? He's like, about like 300 worth of stuff. Like, it'd be like $300 worth of just like vitamins and like, you know, he's
spirulina.
Exactly, spirulina type shit. He loves spirulina. Yeah, he's fucking obsessed with that shit. But yeah, I made it a year and 7 months without the steps, without a sponsor, just kind of on my own, doing it my own stubborn way. And then I crashed hard, dude. I crashed so hard.
Where'd you crash?
Where? It was in the middle of the night. I had just thrown a one-year-old birthday party for my twins, who are now three. Well, they'll be three in September. And I bought a bunch of alcohol because so many people came. This was not like your average one-year-old birthday party. There was like a bouncy.
A Mexican one-year-old
you know,
birthday
honestly,
party.
Honestly, it really was. And my wife is Latino, so that's why we did it. You know, we had a bouncy house. We hired cooks that, you know, they had one of those big taco.
Hell yeah. That's how you do it, man.
It was awesome. Yeah. And so we had done the whole thing, and there was a leftover Pacificos, and they were in the fridge, man, and they just had little water beating up on them. I went in the fridge to get something to eat, and I saw it, and I just went, fuck it. Opened it, drank it, and I was like, well, I'm relapsed. Might as well drink another one.
See, that's the thought right there.
Yeah.
It's not – if I stop now, I can start over again.
Yeah.
It's, oh, I slipped. Might as well drink the whole rest of what's in this fridge.
But I only have three. I only have three. And I didn't get drunk off that, obviously. I can't get drunk off
three. Was there more beers there?
No, there was no more.
There weren't any more in the house.
Yeah.
Dun, dun.
But I knew now that I was relapsed. She caught me the next morning.
Did you feel like after you drank those three beers that I'm cured, I could stop?
Like, what do you mean?
Like...
Because you stopped at three there. You didn't go hit the bars immediately.
Oh, like...
Not immediately.
No, you're actually... That is kind of... The thought was, maybe I could do it this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I could do it.
You did it with wine. I'll just drink wine now.
Oh, that's what we do. We
make it for like 2 weeks.
We make any excuse. Today is just, you know what? I'm low-carbing, Diet Coke, and rum.
I'm going to treat myself. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I had one thing once where I was like, you know what? I'm only going to drink at weddings. Like, that was one of my rules for a while. Because I knew that there were like seven coming up. So I was like, well, that's pretty good. And then I'm like, I'm finding out people are getting married. I'm like, dude, you should I give you a present,
bro.
Yeah.
The wedding drinker.
It sounds like a bad Lionsgate movie. The wedding drinker.
Hilarious. How'd your wife catch you slipping, though?
She walked over to the fridge. She got something out of the fridge.
This is addiction. Don't catch you slipping. Now. This is addiction. You should do that. This is addiction.
Yeah, right. A spoof, dude. That'd be great.
You're walking at this.
Yeah. We can do your crack out.
Yeah.
Your crack.
Crack face.
Thing you talked about earlier. So she went in the fridge. She saw that they were gone, and she walked right over. She was – I'll never forget. I had a pillow on top of my head. I slept on the couch. I made it pretty obvious. I'm sleeping on the couch, and there's a pillow on my head. Like, I'm trying to, like, be avoided so she can't smell it. And she walks over. She's
that's like something.
Yeah. Right? Like, hiding in the corner with one
nobody's
leaf.
Here.
And so she goes, did you drink last night? And I just didn't want to lie. I said, yeah. And she goes, okay. Oh, okay. And I knew I was full. I mean, okay. You don't want to hear that from the missus. So she left to take the kids to school, and she came home. It turned into a big fight. But then I realized I was relapsed. So I just started getting drunk at night. When she'd go to bed, I'd go to 7-Eleven and slam like a 22-ounce of Stone Pale Ale. And then I'd slam another one. And then I'd buy like five of those like little airplane Jack Daniels, take them home, drink them in the garage, hide them all over the garage, and then get drunk. You know, and I did that for a while. And then it just led to other stuff and – bike it in and all sorts of stuff. It got bad.
So pills were your thing eventually?
Big time. Yeah.
Well, I didn't really get into pills, but I remember hiding drinking though. And I was living with somebody at one time. I think people, when I was younger, they didn't want me to drink. So I was just like, I had it all planned out, bro.
Had it all planned out,
I had a backpack from work with a fucking 6 big ass beers.
Damn.
And then I was fucking, I would take a shot, I would take a long bath.
You was
put the radio loud, put the radio loud, radio loud, bubble bath. Getting fucked up in a tub, bro. Come on over there, I'm fucking drunk as fuck.
5 hours later.
I could have died there, bro. If I would have slipped, it would have been worse than fucking drunk driving.
Yep. Yep.
It was the best, bro. Bubble bath. Drinking
the
a
Bud Light.
Drinking,
nice.
Drinking a 40.
Most of my
like gummo dog.
I didn't have to get up to use the restroom. I pee in a tub.
Dude, most of my Nicole makes fun of me because I take epic baths, like 3-4 hour baths.
Epics, bro.
God damn, dog.
Epic baths. I just took a 45-minute one before I came here.
Fucking sucio.
I love baths.
You said epic baths.
Kind of refilling the hot water over and over.
All,
yeah.
Dude, all yeah.
You do that? I've never done that before.
This is what I do.
You let a little bit
of hot water.
I fill it up. I fill it up, and then I turn it off because I like my foot to be under running hot water. Yeah. So my feet are like crossed over each other. Hot water hits it, cascades down my feet, and I just fucking keep going up and down.
Cascade.
Yeah, you heard me. You fucking heard me.
Cascade, Rasta.
More of a fetish, no?
I didn't say it wasn't. So, you know.
That shit feels good, though.
You don't like hot baths, huh?
Fuck no. I don't like anything hot. I'm fat.
We
I sweat.
We know you are chubby, bro. We like fucking ice. We like cups with ice.
Dude. I sweat a lot. Like, I'm a sweater.
Yeah,
hot
dude.
Bath,
that
huh?
Cold, refreshing, come out there all just like, cozy and shit.
Can I ask how that – so you did a different method. You talked
this
about
time,
this ibogaine and ayahuasca and all that stuff. How did that feel going through? Because we've heard – actually, the first time you did mushrooms, the next morning you felt like you didn't want to do any drug ever again. You had that feeling.
For about an hour.
For exactly but I didn't 60 drink. Minutes.
I didn't want to drink at all.
Right. But because you have urges like that all the time, like throughout – like every day, right? Still, you have it every once in a while you think of it.
When they were mentioning those Pacificos, I could picture them.
I saw your face, bro.
Like I pictured that Pacifico with little drops of coldness on the neck.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, he said the bees
and then when he opened it, when they opened the first one, I just know, man. When,
that was a fucking Pacifico commercial right there.
When he drank it, I know, man. You could,
that refreshing.
For the first time ever, because you remember the first drink. You can feel like all the beer come down your throat.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like a Viking and shit. They just got to land.
Yeah.
they're like, Morgan Freeman's voice. It all went downhill after that.
Yeah. It all went downhill after that.
Yeah. Not
we
crashed.
Never saw Felipe the same.
And he crashed with the side chick in the car.
If I fall off the wagon.
He crashed with the side chick.
You guys didn't hear that story about that fool?
Oh, I know that story.
That Morgan Freeman? Fuck, I was busting those jokes out for fucking, like, dude, like 6 months. That shit was not working, dog.
It worked today.
Fine, he's the fine first one that got it, dog. I'm like, fuck.
So, nobody knows that story. You got swept under the
So room. Your wife caught you?
Exactly.
And right after that, when you were drinking every night, when did you go back to the hard shit?
Well, there's a good story. This is the craziest thing. Like, this is the craziest thing I've ever done. And Felipe's heard a lot about me, so if I'm saying that, you know this is fucking crazy. So I, our guy is gone.
Yeah,
he's no longer the guy that deals. He's no longer in LA, and so I didn't really know a way to get stuff. I'd been out of the game for a minute. I've been sober a year and 7 months. So I deleted a lot of contacts, and I had no idea what to do. So I started going into the doctor and putting on Academy Award winning performances that I was in pain. I would limp in. I would have the limp as I'm walking in the building in case somebody saw me through the window. I'd have a limp when I got into the waiting room, and I'd even say to the secretary, like, do you mind if I take this paperwork and sit down? My foot really hurts, you know. And she'd, oh, sweetie, absolutely. Do you need something to put it up? And I'd go with it, you know, and they'd give me like an ottoman to put my foot on, you know what I mean? And then I'd get pulled in the room, and then I'd have the nurse come in. I'd put on a performance for her.
And nothing's wrong with your foot at all.
Nothing's wrong with my foot.
It's a performance.
Performance, yeah. She'd push on certain areas of the foot, and I would wince. You know what I mean?
This motherfucker's good.
Yeah.
Well, this fool is killing me right now, fool. I want to do that shit, dog.
Are you ready? This
is the, not an addict.
This is the preamble. This is not even the crazy thing that I did. You're not even going to believe this. This is nothing. I do this kind of stuff in my sleep. So she pushes on my foot. I'm wincing. Doctor comes in, pushes on the same area. I wince. He's like, well, you know, I'll never forget this. He's like, you're definitely going to need something for the pain, but I need you to see a podiatrist. Actually, it was the other way around. He goes, you need to see a podiatrist. He goes, but Skylar, I got to tell you, man, I don't know how you feel about this, but you're going to need something for this pain. And I was like, You think so? Like, it just kind of went with it. Like, and he goes, yeah. He goes, I'm going to go ahead and get you. He's, I'm going to get you 5 milligram. You know, yeah. He's like, I'm going to get you 5 milligram Vicodins. And I said, hey, I go, I hate to say this because I don't even want to take these because they just make me nauseous. He goes, me too. He goes, I have the same problem. I go, I can't even. He goes, let me tell you, I'll give you a little remedy for that. He goes, remind me when I'm leaving. I'll tell you how to not get nauseous. I'm like, thank you. I go, but doc, I remember the last time I took these, I must have a high tolerance because of my family because the 5 milligrams, I just had to come back in and get 10s. So can you just give me 10s because I, you know, and he just like, he's like, absolutely. He goes, and if that doesn't work, we'll have you come back and get Oxy. And I'm like, oh. Like,
see you next week.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead and schedule me in for Tuesday.
He has somebody carry him, bro, in here.
So I get my prescription. I start taking them. I'm not proud of this, but this is what happened. I get my prescription. I start taking them. And then the next thing you know, my wife had made a deal with me. And she said, if you're going to be back in this house, this is when I got sober the first time. She goes, I'm allowed to drug test you 24/7 the Damn. Rest of your life. There's not one day I can ever walk up to you, even if everything's going great and my gut instinct is completely wrong and you want to just yell at me, you have to pee in a cup. I go, deal. So she walks up to me and goes, dude, you can tell when I'm on the shit. I get loud. I get manic. I get sweaty.
Yeah, you like, can always tell. You guys don't think you can tell, but you can you always go. Tell.
Oh, the women, they know. So I get loud, manic, sweaty, and you guys are like, well, that's how you are right now. I'm like, no. Yeah, but it gets more.
To the tens?
Yeah, it gets to the tens, baby.
You become Sam Tripoli.
Oh, dude, Sam will tell me he's sober and he hasn't done anything, but yet everybody's fucking children. And you're just like, wait, what the hell is going on right now?
That's a good one.
So I love Sam. So she walks up to me. And she goes, remember how you told me that I can drug test you any day of the week? I go, yeah. She goes, here you go. And she hands me one. And I knew I was fucked because I knew I was on it. I go, this is bullshit, Nicole. I'm not on anything. She goes, cool. If you're not on anything, then take it. I'm like, fine. And then I go, actually, I don't have to pee. She goes, I thought you'd say that. Pulls out a bottle of water from her back pocket, hands to me, closes the door in our bedroom, says, stay in here. Don't come out until it's done. So she leaves the room. Now I'm in the room. I have no idea what to do. A normal person, a non-addict, would just pee in the cup. Correct, Felipe?
Right.
Well, is that what you and I want to do? Do we want to fucking get busted?
Well, the more you're talking about it, I'm trying to think about how to dilute that pee in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Call a homie and bring the pee to the fucking window, bro.
Well, you have three choices. Do it.
I would call Jose the gardener. Man, wait.
I'll be on my phone, dog.
Motherfucker, I have diabetes now.
Yeah, you don't.
You're clean, motherfucker.
You're clean, but you know, I didn't know you had a urinary tract infection.
Like, we going to dialysis.
Yeah. They said there's a lot of weeds in this. It's you have a choice.
What you do?
Well, you can either pee, you can dilute, or you can figure out a way to not pee. Well, I didn't want to pee. I didn't want to go through figuring out how to dilute. I have no way of fucking. My phone was downstairs. I didn't know what to do.
Going to detect it. Yeah.
So I fall to the floor. I start hitting the ground as hard as I can. I start pulling the sheets off of my bed. I slapped my face, I don't know how many times, and got it red. I started sweating. I started screaming. And I just started like shaking back and forth. Dude, I'm Sean Penn at Mystic River at this point. I am performing out of my fucking ass, dude. She runs upstairs. And the reason I'm doing this is I've legit had kidney stones 3 times before.
Oh,
so I know what
God.
That looks like when you have kidney stones. So she walks in there. I'm going fucking nuts. I'm going back and forth. I'm roly-poly back and forth. I'm going insane. And she goes, what's wrong? Oh, my gosh. She goes, what's going on? And I'm like, kidney stone. She goes, oh, my gosh. Okay, do you want me to call 911? I'm like, yes. She starts to grab her phone to call 911. And I'm like, am I really going to waste an ambulance's time on this? Am I going to, like, have an ambulance come here when it could be used for someone that actually, like, really needs it? Am I going to go through with this? No, but I'm going to do the next best thing. So I told her, I go, hang up. She goes, well, why? You're in pain. I go, I'm going to drive myself. She's like, you can't drive yourself. That's dangerous. I go, I'm doing it. I go, babe, I'm not going to spend $1,500 on an ambulance to drive me a half a mile away because it's really not far, the hospital. So she gets me up. I hobble like towards the stairs. I go towards the stairs.
Oh, method actor, bro.
Damn. Oh, yeah. I start going down the stairs. I'm screaming in pain. You know, I'm passing my fucking – I don't even want to – so anyway, I get downstairs and I get right by the door. She gets me the keys. And have you ever seen Usual Suspects?
Yeah.
Okay, you know at the end when
– The limp foot.
The limp, and then it goes into the regular foot? you know, Kaiser Soze, Kevin Spacey's walking limp, and then it stopped. So I'm that's basically a live version of this. I'm holding my side. I'm leaning over. I look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I'm screaming like Al Pacino in fucking Serpico. I'm going nuts. I get to my fucking car. I get in the car. I'm still leaned over. I'm starting the car like almost like a handicapped person. I have one arm to work with. The other arm is holding my side in pain. I drive. I'm leaning over, and I get around the corner. As soon as I round the corner, I just straighten out, and I'm like, oh, God. Okay, she can't see me. But then I'm left with a thought, but yeah, but now you have to commit to this. And so I don't know if you know why I did this yet, if you can see where this is going. So I drive to the hospital, and I get there, and now I've got to fucking turn the performance back on and get out of my car and like start performing on the way in. So now I'm holding my side again. I'm coming into the hospital. I get inside the waiting room, and I scream out loud. I'm in pain. I'm in pain. And they get me a bed. They put me in the back, and I lie down in a bed, and I'm sitting in the bed, and all of a sudden they come over, and they're like, what's going on? I go, kidney stone. They're like, how do you know? I'm like, I've had three. They're like, okay. And they're like, how much pain are you in 1 to 10? I said 11. And I know that when you say 11 on 1 to 10, they put you on Dilaudid. Dilaudid is in the same class of pill that I was taking. So I knew at this point that if I come home the next day and she says, you never took that drug test, I get to go, well, I can take it, but it's going to be dirty because they put Dilaudid in me at the hospital.
Genius.
And that's why I did it.
Fucking genius.
Genius, bro.
Fuck, this is the next Brando, bro.
I'm not proud of it whatsoever. I want to be very clear on that. I'm not proud. It's a story, that's for sure. That
I'm proud of listening to the story right now.
Yeah.
You go all when you on drugs, but you go all out, bro. You
don't care.
You cause you like
there's another thing in your head driving
that,
driving you toward it.
Like it's like you turn into a second person, bro. That person is smart, dog. But he uses his power for evil.
This guy last night in a meeting, his name's Steven, he said, you wake up with two voices in your head. One of them is talking, and the other one is listening.
Oh, my God. I never heard it that way. But
I had
right.
not either, and
either.
I love
that
it.
Deep. That
and,
is
and,
deep.
And the one that's that talking is smooth, and he gets what he wants.
The pimp.
And, like, he tells you that all your deals are falling apart. People don't like you. Your wife's not really into you. You know what I mean? Like everything.
You're fat.
Yeah. And you're like, well, that's actually true in my case. I've put on, I don't know how many pounds in the last. Anyway. I'm not proud of that story, but I do know that that's not something I would do again now that I'm sober. You know, and you might be like, well, what's different this time? I got the sponsor. I'm doing the steps. I go to the meetings. I have a fellowship. I have guys from every meeting. I have a home meeting. If I don't show up, they all wonder where I am. They check on me. Like there's like it's like a crew. I have like an army now. Whereas before it was just me being bullish going, I got this. I don't even think I'm an addict. I'm just going to do it because everyone else thinks I am. And you know, you don't do things like what I just told you unless you're an addict. Nobody fucking does that.
Nobody, no, that's man. Insane. That's insane.
It's out of control.
There's
it's,
so much work that goes into it. That's a lot of fucking work and wasted a whole day and everything.
Day, 2 days.
I 2 days.
Stayed overnight.
Yeah, stayed
in the hospital.
Overnight.
Got some sweet hospital food though, let me tell you. Okay.
But think about it, man. Like, he could be out there robbing and stealing, but then motherfuckers putting up performance.
I know, man.
Yeah.
It's that warrior spirit, dog.
In a way, I am robbing and stealing.
You are.
I'm stealing trust. I'm robbing trust. Yeah. I'm stealing time. I'm robbing time. I'm stealing innocence of my wife.
And you are taking a bed from a real sick person?
Yeah.
That's true,
yeah.
too.
I've thought about that. I've thought about that, you know.
So how did this rehab in Mexico, how did that – what did it feel like? What was the experience like? And did you feel like you didn't have urges afterward? Like, because I've been interested in this whole hallucinogenic
I absolutely therapy. Have urges because, you know, there's a reason the term is I'm in recovery. You never recover. You know what I mean? Until we get to the next realm. You're in recovery. You're recovering. And so I get the urges. Absolutely. Like, I didn't have one right now when I said Pacifico. But, like, if he said my drink, like, if Felipe said, you know, like, oh, man, and then I saw a bottle of Makers and an ice-cold Coke, like, I would get that, like, ooh, that little fucking fizz that it makes when you combine it. You know what I mean? Like, I know what you're talking about.
I just want to chew on that red rubber on top.
Yes. Yes. That's the stuff, dude. But I still get the urges. I just, you know, an alcoholic, you know, we don't have a drinking problem. We have a thinking problem. And that's why we drink, because we don't think right and we don't view things right. And so what I needed to do was go get to the root of the problem. Whereas before, all I've ever treated is the symptoms. And drinking is just a symptom. You know, it comes from somewhere else. It doesn't, you don't just love alcohol. Like, you found alcohol to cure. Like, I used alcohol for everything. If something great happened, get fucked up. If something terrible happened, get fucked up. Like, there was nothing that it was, you know what I mean? If you can't wake up in the morning, get fucked up. You can't sleep, get fucked up, you know? Like, all sorts of things.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know, when he was about to win Last Comic Standing, I was the most nervous I had ever been, because he had been sober for maybe 8 months. and had come from the worst time we had ever had together was the year before that. And but when he was about to win Last Comic Standing, like the finals, I didn't know who to invite because I didn't know how he was going to react if he won, and I didn't know how he was going to react if he lost.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous about bringing the wrong people, you know, like a parent or something that might trigger something if he was sad about losing or even happy about winning. You, either way, it's going to – I was on eggshells that whole week, and you did great. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. No, it was great. But I was nervous because
and you had every right to be.
It was so new.
That's what we do to people.
But we don't even notice we do that to people, huh?
No, it takes – I mean, I'm – every – the way I stay sober is with moments like I just had right here with Lisa. Like, hearing that makes me go, oh, I owe my wife one more apology, even though I've already done it. I love hearing that, not because I love that you went through it, but I can't wait to see my wife later and go, you know what Lisa said, and share like what it must have been like for her. I go, you must have a lot of moments where you're so worried whether something goes good or bad for me. I never heard it put like that. And I guarantee you, Nicole could talk about her experience in front of you that would make you go, oh, I need to go say sorry to Lisa. And that's why I go to meetings, because I keep hearing stuff that makes me go, oh, I did that too. I need to go call so-and-so. You know what I mean?
Friends and family is one thing, but your lady is another thing, man. Or your partner, man, because that's the motherfucker that really fucking knows you're in and out.
I owe her so many apologies, you know.
Sometimes only those people can do something.
Because not only you were going through your addiction and things, while she was going through something else with the babies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There was a big thing going on with the kids, right?
I saw you one time. Lisa and I were having early breakfast somewhere.
IHOP or something years ago.
Yeah. And you came in there and... And you had those kids and that young girl, and I was like, damn. And he goes, God, look like he was in a good one last night. And he met this girl with two kids, and now they're having breakfast.
This is before the twins.
When I saw you there, I was like, wow, this guy's cool. He goes, he's like, but I don't know you were partying, but I just knew that, okay, he met this girl.
Yeah.
No, the walk of shame, you know, and they're having breakfast together with her kids like a soldier. But I didn't know you were going through addiction then.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Those are the worst breakfasts.
I started drinking when I was 14. The way I used to drink was my parents had a liquor cabinet, and I would go in there and I didn't care which one it was. I'd grab vodka, I'd grab gin, it didn't matter, but I'd grab one. And I knew that if I took 15 sips within 3 hours, I felt fucked up. And that was at 14. Same. So I would literally sneak down, take a sip. It wasn't a shot. So it wasn't like – it was probably a third of a shot. So really at the end of the day, I was probably taking somewhere around, you know, maybe 5-6 real shots. But at 14, that's a lot. You know, yeah.
At 14, what made you want to go do that? Did you want to get fucked up or you wanted to try, like, see how it tasted?
Well, we'll circle back because it'll answer the other question you asked, which was – you know, you said, what was different about this Mexico time? When I went down there, they have you do one night of Ibogaine, one big hit of DMT, and 6 nights of ayahuasca.
6 nights?
Yeah. Oh. Absolutely.
6 nights?
Oh, yeah.
I've only heard like 2 nights, maybe.
And what do you do in those 6 nights?
Well, okay, so with ayahuasca, you have a shaman, you have a group of people, there's a diet called dieta. And you eat certain things, and you also don't eat certain things for about a week leading up. You're supposed to eliminate sex and media and television from your diet for a certain amount of days, so that your eyes are and your whole palate is basically clear, and your brain's not spinning too much. There's no caffeine, there's no sugar. I mean, it's a motherfucker. It's not a fun. It's like, well, if I can't eat sugar, I at least want to watch TV, and if I can't watch TV, I want to eat some. Like, it sucks, dude. And you're also trying to kick drugs and alcohol, so like you're basically just sitting there playing with a paddle ball in fucking Mexico. You know what I mean? It's like fucking, you know. And so,
table tennis champ.
Yeah, we didn't have table tennis, but we did have a paddle ball. So they love paddle ball down there. I don't fucking know what that's all about, but so you sit down or you lie down and you have your own space. And you're to write a journal before you start about your intentions. What do you want to find out? What do you want to go in? It's because getting sober is an inside job, right? It's not out. It has nothing to do with Trump, nothing to do with your wife, nothing to do with anything. It's an inside job. And so I had to write out my intentions. And my intention for my first night was, why do I get fucked up? I just wanted to make it simple. Why the fuck do I get fucked up? And I saw a lot of crazy stuff, man. You drink this tea and it goes down like sludge. Like it is not taste good and it feels weird going down. And there's this guy singing these songs in this impossible to understand language and you don't know what he's singing about. And they're beating on a drum and like it takes about an hour to kick in. Sort of like ecstasy. You know what I mean? And so, and then when it kicks, were you an E guy or not?
Never.
Not once?
No. Not once.
Oh, what about you?
No. I never touched. I've only smoked weed and done mushrooms and acid occasionally, but.
Mm. No, right, did you ever do it?
Never rolled, bro.
It's a white boy thing, isn't it?
It is.
What is?
Ecstasy. I knew a lot of fools that used to do it, but I just was afraid because I heard some shit that'll burn a fucking hole in your brain.
Yeah.
So I was like, no.
The Asian kids, too. PK said he and his friends were all into that.
Was it about people being so scared about something happening to their brain, but then when you hear that alcohol and smoking will fuck up your heart, I'm like, oh, well, I'll do that. You know what I mean? Like, but the second it's your brain, it's like, well, I'm not.
I don't know, man. That's weird. I think fucking with the whole fucking, war on drug shit.
So once I got on it, weird things start to happen. I was lying down, and this may sound strange, but I felt this hand pushing on my head and pushing me down like as hard as possible. And it was Mother Ayahuasca because it's a female spirit that visits you. And she was pushing me down, basically saying, listen, motherfucker, because you never do. And then my grandma came, and my grandma said, you're not being one of us. Let us get to work. And I started crying because to hear my grandma's voice – to smell her, to feel her, and know that she can see everything. All these things that we wonder, like, can they see us? Or do we go to another realm? Are there angels? Do they see over us? I now know, no matter what anybody says to me, they absolutely are still connected to us. Because she knew things about me, and she was talking to me about, you know, what I've done and why I'm the way that I am. And, I mean, so much of it would take so long to explain. But in a nutshell, one of the best things that happened for me was I realized, see, I wasn't that kid. A lot of people are like, oh, well, you must have not have gotten a lot of attention. I got tons of attention. There was no problem. I mean, parents were both there. They're still married. My sisters were there. Like, I was not some neglected kid that's like, oh my God, look at me. It was more this sense of my family was so enigmatic and such a kooky cast of characters, all of them, uncles, great. I mean, there's nobody in my family that you'd meet and go, well, that person's boring. They're all eccentric, crazy, fucked up, hilarious, awesome, imperfect people. And I just felt like because of that, I needed to be like the loudest. Like I just felt like I wanted to compete.
How do you find your way of rising above?
Yeah. And so like, you know, the biggest thing I learned was I started doing that at a young age because there was a lot of tragedy in my family. I had one grandma not wear her seatbelt right where the 405 hit Sunset, and she was out here living as a rider for a little bit, and she got flung through a window or through the windshield and couldn't walk, hear, or see out of her left eye for the rest of her life. So I only knew her as a deaf, can't see very well, not walking grandmother. And then my other set of grandparents died instantly in Kansas City in 1982 when this big skywalk collapsed at a Hyatt Hotel. Oh, wow. And 143 people died. It's the biggest architectural accident in America of all time. And my grandparents were crushed by concrete. And so there was all this pain around me when I was little. And so on ayahuasca, I learned that like I wanted to become a clown for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to like really take care of everybody, make everybody laugh and like be this person. And so that's why I started becoming the way that I became. And then when my parents moved me at 15, this is the last thing I'll say about this is – when they moved me from Missouri to Michigan, I lost all my friends. I lost all my theater friends, my baseball friends, my best friends, everybody I grew up with. And I was a runt. I was skinny. I was like really awkward. I was just weird. And I couldn't get friends for the life of me when I moved. So I just found the funnier I became, you know, the more people wanted to hang out with me. And then when I saw kids drinking, I decided, well, I'm going to drink better. And it'd be just – I'm just a competitive person. So my competitive nature just became – just like I competed when I was young amongst these kooky characters, I decided I'm going to compete amongst drinkers. And then I just became – you know, you just become known for something. Like yeah. You have
the
little,
dog.
You have little inside, you have little inside jokes on this podcast.
Oh, fuck yeah,
I know your guys' shit. Like I like – so you when you become known for something and you find, oh, that works. We get a lot of retweets when we talk about that.
This motherfucker can down a 40, dog.
In
one shot. Oh, no, I'm just saying about it. You're known for something in high school and all that shit.
So what happened was I would get to parties and people were like, oh, Skylar's here. You know shit's about to be wild.
Fuck yeah,
and
dog.
I liked that.
The stone.
Stony.
I was known for something. Like,
but it feels cool, right?
Yes, yeah, I felt like a superhero. Like, you know that I'm Captain America.
Put on your cape and shit.
He's brought the party with
him. Yeah, dude.
A little spotlight.
I'm the Hulk. I'm the green one. You know,
another like, party, dude.
Say what?
Did you ever compete with another party dude?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck that dude.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. And so I just started realizing that, like, you know, it all had to do with my competitive nature, my wanting to be heard nature, my obsessive, you know, and just wanting to, who the fuck doesn't want to be loved? You know what I mean?
Fuck yeah, dude.
And so I became this character, and slowly over time, I've realized people have constantly said, Skyler's not how you think. If you really just knew him, he's actually cool. But the people that don't know me that well and just know the stories, like, no, I heard he's a piece of shit. And so I started I started realizing, I'm like, wait a minute, am I me or am I a character? And I know that part of Hollywood is you do become a character. Like, Harrison Ford isn't probably exactly how we think he is. Like, that's something he's become when the cameras are on. And that's fine. But I was doing it 24/7.
You didn't have any.
You didn't turn it off, huh? Your
own. I was doing it all the time. Who there was I? No when the call time would wrap, I'm like, let's keep going because I'm high now. Like, I got to keep, like, I got, and not even necessarily high, like smoking weed. I would just be like manic high, and I'd be like, the set would be done and everybody would be leaving, and I'd want to keep the party going. So since I can't go create the set that made me this high, like this, I can't get all the cool actors and the lights and the fun and the energy and the studio execs and whatever. Let's go to a bar because I know how to control that. I know how to run that. And so we'd go to a bar and I'd invite the crew guys and the actors, and then here we are. And then I get too fucked up. And before you know it, like this before Uber, I was just getting in a car driving home. People were like, I don't like that guy. Like, look at him. He's fucking hammered and he's getting in a car and driving away. And like,
well, that dude's cool, man.
Yeah. No, a lot of people didn't like him, you know? So.
That's the same thing with you, like with the wanting to keep the adrenaline going after a good set.
I remember partying, bro, and the people wanted to go home. You're going home? Fuck that. I come, are you going to eat right now?
It's like going to.
That shit will throw off the party. Like, we're partying for 2 nights straight. That motherfucker opened up a sandwich, man. You can't be here with that sandwich, man. Throwing up my fucking party vibe.
It's like getting sent to sleep as a little kid and you don't want to go to bed, dog. You're fucking fucked. What am I
missing out on, more fun?
That's exactly it. That
fear
is
of missing out.
Yeah. I'm stealing that for when I tell, because
it's a gift, bro.
That's exactly it. I just didn't want to go to bed. And it was 24/7. And then it crept into phone calls, like conference calls, and I'd be on calls with other promoters or like producers and actors, and just like it just started this nature, this competitive nature wouldn't stop, and this is obsessiveness, and like I would just invade people's privacy and throw people's face in the mud if they made mistakes when working with me. Like I became a fucking monster, dude, a fucking monster. So. Yeah,
man. I used to see you when you were hosting that college show, man. What is this fool is on?
Oh, you remember that show? Oh my god!
And I said, because you work also with that other crazy motherfucker sometimes.
So Greg Hahn?
No. TJ Miller.
Oh, okay.
Oh, TJ. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you had that crazy ass college show. You were always drinking, bro.
Always drinking.
A good one.
Yeah. I got banned from the Laugh Factory for 7 years once. Because in 2007, I almost got my biggest part ever at the time, at least. I was going to be in Alvin and the Chipmunks, and it was the Jason. What's the guy's? Jason Lee. So he's the lead, and then he's got the three chipmunks, right? And when they get signed to a label, there was like a label president, like a really, like, you know, smarmy, you know, slick, you know, kind of like Ari Gold before Ari Gold. Like it was like an agent character, right? Or I guess not before Ari Gold. Ari Gold was on the air at that time. And so it was down to three people. And I know this is going to sound really funny because this really proves they had no idea who they wanted. It was down to David Cross, George Lopez, and me.
Shut up. Yeah. You guys were the two contenders.
Yeah. A Jew, a Mexican, and then fucking me.
What happened? I mean? You didn't get it, George, right?
No, absolutely not.
Let me hear more.
You didn't get it right now?
Not right now, man. Not even later, man. You got me fucking hosting over here at the Hollywood Bowl and shit.
And shit. You got to say in shit or it's not George Lopez. Yeah. Dude, you're good, dude. Next thing you know, a contract was on its way to my house. I was going to get, like, I think $80,000. I was like, I'd never heard of that amount of money in my life.
Wow, the big role then.
I was fucking pumped, dude. Like, it was a lead role in the movie. It would have been my first studio lead, you know what I mean? I had bit parts, but nothing like that. And so literally the contract's about to get curried to my house. I don't know what happened, but story goes that something like David Cross came down and on with his price and decided he would do it for less. And they got him in a steal. And, you know, he was a name and I wasn't. And, you know, my show had just been canceled and his hadn't. And that's just how it went. So I got pissed and I started getting drunk and I got blacked out. I started drinking about 3 p.m. And I took a cab, actually, for once. I took a cab to the Laugh Factory. It was a show with Dane, Finesse Mitchell, and Jeremy Hotz and a couple other people. And I get in a cab. I go over there. I I get on stage. I'm the first comic up on the lineup. And I'm blacked out, and no one knew I was blacked out because I kept it chill. But I get up on stage, and there's an old guy in the front row. Yeah, there's an old guy in the front row. This was right before Michael Richards got recorded saying the N-word and all that stuff there, if you remember that, of course.
Yeah, man.
And so there's an old guy in the front row sitting by himself, and I guess I started doing crowd work on him, but it wasn't funny. Like, it was just mean. Like, oh, where's your wife? Did she die and you live alone now? And like, and he's like, yeah, actually, she died a year and a half ago. And like, so the whole room's looking like, dude, leave the fucking old guy alone, you know? And I'm like, oh, so when are you going to die? Like, just terrible crowd work. Terrible. Clearly from someone that hates themselves.
I wish I was there, right?
Yeah.
I would have been the back howling dog.
I was working there that time. I didn't
think. Yeah, and so I get off stage, and I go upstairs, and Finesse Mitchell held me up against the wall. And Finesse is a really nice pussycat of a guy.
Nice guy.
But people like that, if you get them in the wrong place, that you know, that means they've been holding back a lot for maybe 3 years, and this is their chance to blow up. Finesse meant business,
dude. I love SNL.
Yeah. Man, Skyle, I need to talk to you right now. And so he had me up against the wall, and he just said, you cannot do that, man. You just derailed this show. And then somebody had to get up there and get the show going back, and they fucking bombed all because of you. And Dane's behind him yelling at me, and everyone's yelling at me, and I don't remember a lot of it, but, you know.
Dane was like, foo fire.
You should have given him the super finger back, dog.
And so I got kicked out, and they banned me for 7 years.
Yeah,
I'm back now. I've been there for a long time. That, you know, and me and Jamie are great. But
yeah, buddy.
Yeah,
I love you, buddy.
All right, what's up, fool?
I was just going to ask you a quick question to see how you did it. Crossing the line as an extra and talking to the to the actors. How'd you do that? How'd you cross that line? You're not never supposed to cross as a extra guy in movies.
I would make sure to not plan anything I wanted to say. They know when you've planned it. They know when you've looked up a story and said, oh, I heard you really like the San Francisco Giants. It's like they know that the night before you did homework and that you thought of a conversation to have. And if someone did that, they know that you're only doing it because you want to get close to them. So I'd wait for something in the moment. If I saw something spill next to Ryan Reynolds, I'd make a joke about that because then it's like, all right, well, that just happened. I'm clearly not trying to buddy-buddy up. I'm just like fucking talking to you like a real person. And like I would just keep it like that. And before you know it, I'd see them kind of get closer to me and go, hey, man, you're really funny, by the way. And then I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. And then we'd start talking, you know. But I never went up to somebody and said, no, that's not true. I pulled a couple. You said that you get you told me you get a little.
I knew it, dog.
You told me you get a little fanboy. I can get fanboy too, dude. There was a couple actors that I like walked right up to. I scared the shit out of Harrison Ford at the 41 premiere, that Jackie Robinson movie. I like walked up to Harrison Ford and like I think he immediately thought he was about to get raped. Like it was fucking, and he probably was. I love Harrison Ford. You get that way though.
He did it. He does it sometimes. The last time I saw you do it was when we were at the Pumpkin Patch, and Aubrey Plaza was there.
She was there with that actor dude from
with some dude
with the Criminal Minds.
Criminal, yeah, the cheekbones, Johnny Depp dude. Looking dude. Anyway, Felipe just shows up, Aubrey Plaza. She's like, "What?" She looks at you like, "Oh, hi." But he just yelled out her name, like Kramer or something.
I saw Jennifer Love Hewitt once, and I walked up to her.
Please tell me you said all three names. Jennifer Love Hewitt!
I said Jennifer, actually. Okay. And she was there on a date with some loser. And no, way
before Jamie,
before John Mayer, before all that.
And I invite her.
Dude, she's been around.
I
shouldn't say that. My friend's married to her. Terrible though.
And I invited her to my comedy show, bro. And I invited her to my comedy show.
Wow.
She likes funny guys.
And I remember I walked up to store. Oh, yeah. The worst one was when I was working at Dodger Stadium making hot dogs, and I was peeing, and I looked on the side of me, peeing next to me was John Ritter. He was hiding with his hat, his beard.
Where was this?
Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
I'm
standing next to him, and I wanted to say, hey, John Ritter, his company. I started humming the song, peeing. Come and knock on my door.
You did not.
That fool squeezed his penis and went to the other side, bro. Like, he stopped peeing and held it and then went to the pee all the way to the end.
Didn't say anything to you.
Fuck no, dude.
You should start singing the song.
I did. I was nervous, eh?
My friend, sometimes you can
come
make
and knock on my door.
Sometimes you can make a joke to a celebrity and, like, really get them, like, and get them to be, like, really like you. And so Bruce Willis was at the Hollywood Bowl. And my friend Zach and my dad, we were there watching the Rolling Stones. And so I don't know if you've ever been to a Rolling Stones show, but Keith Richards always does like two solo songs. And that's usually when everybody gets up to pee because they're not good. You know what I mean? And so Bruce Willis is in the bathroom peeing and my friend Zach is right next to him. And Zach's one of the funniest people you'll ever meet in your whole life. And he's just sitting there and he just has no shame. He'll say anything to anybody. And he literally turns and makes that joke. He goes, "Yo, BW." Like, he's looking like, what? He's like, you're just like me, dude. Fucking, you hear Keith Richards solo songs, time to take a piss. And he starts dying, dude, like laughing. Saying,
you're just like me, dog.
No, BW. Zach said BW.
Yeah, oh, that should kill me, but you're just like me.
Yeah. Dude, it's fucking great.
Hell yeah.
So me dude. And Bobby De Niro, right?
That's what I'm saying, dog.
What's up? What's your Instagram here, social media?
Instagram is the Skylar Stone. And people spell Skylar wrong all the time. It's not A-R, it's E-R. So it's the S-K-Y-L-E-R Stone. And it's the same thing on Twitter.
And you have shows coming up?
Yeah, my next show. When is this released, by the way?
This Friday. This came out Thursday night, but it's live right now on video.
Okay. Not this Thursday, but the next Thursday, June 21st, I have a killer show at the Comedy Store. My show is called Comedy Rocks. It will sell out, so get tickets. It's Todd Barry, Natasha Leggero, Mark Maron, Nick Kroll, and Garfunkel and Oates. So it's going to be good.
It's a badass show.
Thursday, yeah. June 21st.
I love Garfunkel. And
I like Garfunkel so funny. Too, man.
Thursday, June 21st, 7:30 p.m.
And you have that show twice a month?
Yeah, every other Thursday. Yep.
Comedy Store. Always
What's
six stars.
What's up, fool? Upcoming show, Schaumburg, Illinois. This week, June 15th through the 17th at the Schaumburg Improv outside of Chicago. El Paso, Texas, June 22nd at the Plaza Theater. San Antonio, Texas, June 23rd. Second show added at the Tobin Center.
The first show's just about sold out, just 50.
Orlando, Florida, June 28th, July 1st at Orlando Improv. Hermosa, California, July 17th, Comedy and Magic Club. One night only. Check out FelipeWorld.com/tour for all coming shows.
Yeah, man.
Are you anything?
Chicago this week with you, and then please roll out.
Also, thank you very, very, very much for Skylar Stone being a great guest.
Hell yeah,
great
dude.
Teaching dude this has been so fun.
Thank you for creeping in, dog.
Your recovery, bro. God damn, bro. Awesome. You have a crazy ass story.
It's crazy. Thank you.
Woo!
Hot damn!
That acted to the fucking... We could do another hour of that
easy,
shit, bro.
Dog.
Easy.
Right here with the main stone himself. Oh!
What's up, fool?